Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Oh, Look, a Squirrel. I'm Doug Cox. Happy to be back here doing this podcast for you. I'm going to feature part two of the interview and old podcast I did with Richie Hayward, the great drummer from Little Feet and many, many other places. And I believe this might be the last interview he did before he sadly passed away. We had a lot of fun that day. It was good to hang out with him some more. So here you go. Here's part two of the Richie Hayward Show. Hope you enjoy it. Greetings and welcome to Roots Review Talkin' Music. I'm Doug Cox, talking to you from Vancouver Island, British Columbia, Canada. Last week's episode was part one of an interview I did with the great drummer Richie Hayward, and we're going to carry on for this week's show with the rest of that interview. We left off talking about Joan Armatrading, who Richie toured with for a while, and we're going to kick off the show with a Joan Armatrading tune just to get us warmed up. This is Joan with Richie Hayward in a live recording called Cool Blue Stole My Heart.
I swear you were not my ambition. Cool and man was on my mind. I walked up to the bar and I ordered, then I took my eyes outside, sat down under the hot sun, looked around at this new land, and then oh, I saw you. I woke up first sight next morning and night. Took a tram to the lights of play. Hired a bike, I drove round for hours. I was searching for those dark eyes. Made a stop at the Blue Note. Messed up a chance, some good fun. I was looking for you, looking for you. Thank you.
I swear you were not my ambition. Coolness was on my mind. I walked up to the bar and I ordered, and I took my eyes outside, sat down under the hot sun, looked around at this new land, and then I saw you, I saw you.
Seems like she would just let the band go, basically, too. She had a lot of respect for the musicians.
She picked the people for what they do, and then she let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
She would tell her what she wanted, tell us what she had in mind, you know, like atmospherically and arrangementally and sound-wise. And she was very, gentle guidance, nudges here and there. No domineering, none of that insecure female singer thing. It was just, she was just one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
She, no innuendo at all intended there. She was just carrying her own weight and doing fine. And then I did Warren Zevon. That was really interesting.
And that was, did you tour with him and record with him?
Mm-hmm. I toured with him just in between albums, and then we did Transverse City, and then his health went south, and I went off with Little Feet.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to Roots Review Talkin' Music. I'm Doug Cox, and this is part two of my special with Richie Hayward, the fantastic drummer. We're going to listen to a cut off of the CD that Richie did with Warren Zevon called Transverse City. The song is called Down in the Mall. Features David Lindley on lap steel guitar, saz, oud, and vocal harmonies, and Howie Epstein on the bass. And, of course, Richie Hayward on the drums. This is Warren Zevon.
Thank you. shopping for a hat. We're buying some of this and we're buying some of that. We'll shop up a storm till we can't shop no more. And then we're stopping off at the video store. Down in the mall, I'll be your man. We'll go shopping, baby, it's something we can stand. Down in the mall, we'll be alright. Monday through Saturday at 9 o'clock at night.
When did you work with Ry Cooder?
At the very beginning, on his first album, 1970.
Okay. So you played on that album?
The one with the trailer on it.
Oh, okay.
The Airstream trailer.
Right.
Jen wants one meatball.
favorite drum track that you have that you didn't play on? Is there some drum tracks that just kill you that you?
Oh yeah. There's some drumming that I wish I could do.
can you think of any examples?
Well, Pursuance by John Coltrane. It starts and ends with a drum solo by Elvin Jones. It's just so ferocious,
mm-hmm.
and impossible to do. I mean, it's just impossible to do.
Why do you think it's impossible to do?
Because I hear more than two hands and feet going on
okay.
there. But he has the normal allotment of each, you know. But it's what he did with it that was pretty magical. It's shamanistic. It's the kind of music that will clear a room,
mm-hmm.
because it's like exercising the room. It's like if you're thinking too much about your life or the city or any of that stuff, you're thinking, it'll drive you out of the room. You have to let it take you because you can't fight it.
Right.
Either go with it or leave.
Thank you.
Mitchell did some stuff with Hendrix that, as a drummer, I'll never forget. I think the first Hendrix album opened up the doors for drummers to play. We were just timekeepers then, up until then.
And is there a cut off that, that in particular, that you think really
shows the first
that?
Hendrix album?
Yeah.
Third Stone from the Sun. It's really great.
Thank you. majestic and superior cackling hen. Your people I do not understand, so to you I shall put an end.
Try and slow down some of those recordings and actually really try and figure out what the drummers were doing on them that inspired you?
Yeah. I basically figured out what they were doing. Well, Mitch, but not Elvin. But I never quite got my hands to do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it comes out different.
Right. One of the questions that comes from another Canadian drummer, a guy named Pat Stewart, who's a well-known Canadian drummer, was... he heard you play Teenage Nervous Breakdown, and he said, I could not believe how fast Richie played eighth notes on the hi-hats. And if I had one question to ask him, I'd ask him, how do you play that fast?
And it's coming from... That was a lickety-split song, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
okay, the secret to that is fingers. Fingers and the butt of the palm of your hand. The stick is held between the thumb and forefinger and bounced between the fingers and the back of your hand, and that combined with the rebound from the stick on the cymbal or whatever helps, and you can just kind of knock it back down with your fingers instead, and you don't have to lift it.
And where did you learn that from?
Playing.
Just figured it out yourself.
Yeah. Just think, you know, sit down and think about what you want to do and how your sticks have to work to get that, you know.
We'll be right back.
Thanks. The amazing drummer Richie Hayward and Little Feet, of course, and Teenage Nervous Breakdown. I'm Doug Cox. You're listening to Roots Review. We'll be right back with more from Richie Hayward. And now back to our interview with the great Richie Hayward. Have you done any instructional things yourself?
See, I'm self-taught, and I think I just teach people how to make mistakes and how to do stuff wrong, because I don't do it normal. It's not that freaky, but...
If it's okay, I just want to read this real quick and get you to respond to it, because I thought this was really nailed your style and relates to what we're just talking about. This is from a guy named Marley Stock in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And he said, I've played drums since the early 1960s, so I'm not exactly a beginner behind the kit. I've seen Richie Little Feet many times, and I can tell you he's amazing. Two things that stand out immediately, his funky and infectious groove and his busy and harmonious cymbal work. When listening to him play, you will find him playing snare hats where you don't, or sorry, you will find him playing snare hits where you don't expect, and sometimes none where you do. All the while, the groove never skips a beat. He makes it all look and sound so easy, but be very afraid. If you attempt to copy him note for note, you will go insane. His cymbal work is similar. He places crashes and splashes often, and in a very melodious manner. Every drummer has his own style and sound, but I think Richie is the only drummer I have ever heard that cannot be copied note for note. He is unique. Oddly, in many years of reading the popular drumming magazines, I've never seen a drummer credit Richie as being an influence. Perhaps it's because no one can play that stuff, so they don't try. I don't know how he does it, but it sounds so good. Ringo's the reason I started playing drums. Richie is the reason I still do.
Wow. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Beautiful letter.
That's real nice.
I just wanted you to kind of respond to that in terms
of your
style.
That's the kind of stuff that keeps you going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I've heard other people
say that. He's from Iowa, as am I.
Yeah, he said that as well. But I've heard other people say that about your drumming, that you're one of the absolutely unique drummers. Like, people can pick you off of albums if they hear you playing.
I don't know. I have no idea how that works.
Is it probably because you're self-taught, maybe?
Yeah, it could be.
You're listening to Roots Review Talking Music. I'm Doug Cox, and this is the Richie Hayward Show. A friend of mine from here on Vancouver Island, and Ian McLean, who's probably the biggest music fan going here, and also a huge Little Feet fan, found out I was doing this special on Richie and lent me a CD called Lowell George and the Factory. The CD's called Lightning Rod Man. And this is an example of some really early stuff that's almost Little Feet. This is from about 1969. And it features Lowell George on slide guitar, Roy Estrada on the bass, Billy Payne on the organ, and Richie on drums. There's a production note that Lowell thinks this song needs a new vocal, or thought this song needs that. The tune's called Crackin' Your Door.
Stop.
Someone else wanted me to ask you about it, and I went and listened to some of this online. Was your group called Endangered Species?
Yeah.
There's some really cool stuff there.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that record.
When was that recorded?
2000.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of a fusion-y.
Yeah.
Almost Jeff Beck meets Mahavishnu meets kind of thing. And is that
a,
is
it's
that
a Little Feet kind of thing.
Yeah. Is that a band that was touring actively?
No. No, it's this friend of mine named Jimmy Herring, who's an awesome guitar player. And this keyboard player named T. Lavitz, who played with the Dixie Dregs and Jazz Is Dead and all that. And they had a band together with a bass player named Adam Nitti that called it Justice League. And we did a, we threw together some songs and did a quick tour one winter in 99. And it was freezing. You know, who wants to go to Buffalo in a car on a tour in a freezing cold in January? Well, we did. But anyway, we, the next year, everybody, I mean, we've been talking for a year about how much fun we'd had. So T. Lavitz organized the album, only used Kenny instead of Adam, and we just wanted to record it just so it was down.
Yeah,
because it was cool stuff, I thought.
So that was something that you all played a fairly equal role in, as far as the composition of the tunes went and everything.
Yeah, we wrote and recorded that album in 2 weeks. We'll be right back.
that question is involved in a thing called Bergstock, kind of like Pittsburgh's Woodstock. And he says that you've been very involved in community work, benefiting nonprofits for things like homeless military veterans and that kind of thing. And that one of the things that he was really struck with was how much of that kind of work that Little Feet does and has always done. Anything to say about that? Is it something you guys were really conscious of? Or?
Well, if we see something that we think needs help and we can, we will. But no, we're not, you know, professional philanthropists or anything, but you know, if somebody's in trouble, we'll try to help them out.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's important work to do if you're...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the reasons we're here.
Played such a large kit. And how do you?
No, it's grown over time.
It has.
Yeah, it started as a small kit because I carried it myself. But no, as time's gone on, I just decided I want a few more things for color. Basically, it's not the way I look at it. Is it's a four-piece drum set with accessories.
Oh, okay.
You know, because in there is a snare drum and two toms and bass drum. That is the basic kit, and the rest of it's like, in case I feel like a different sound, you know, it's available. You're able to give different tunes a little bit more of a different color.
And you've had a road crew for a long time, so you, normally when you tour, you usually have to set up your own gear or anything like that. I'm sure it's been a long time. Do you? You just trust your crew for your drum tuning and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I do the tuning.
You do? Okay.
But I trust him with everything else. He gets it close.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just fine-tune it.
You go in and check it.
He's actually doing the gig for me while I'm laid up. So I better trust him.
Have you been to, you haven't had a chance to go see the band, I'm sure, at
no,
all.
No, I haven't. They're going to Jamaica this week coming up.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, this will be the 8th time. We do it every year.
Well, do you hear from the band?
This will be the first time I won't be there. I talked to Paul about an hour ago.
Oh, good, good. I imagine they must keep a pretty close touch.
Yeah, yeah, we're planning on... on a return.
We should say that we're sitting here in Vancouver Island, in British Columbia, where you live now.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty quiet here.
it's beautiful. It's really a nice place.
Do you see big differences culturally between
Courtney and Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit. No, it's huge. But it's not that. It's really not huge. It's huge. It's more in the difference between a small town and a big city than
yeah.
it is between one country and the other. We're very much alike, whether we want to admit it or not. It's two countries divided by a common language.
I think there's more in common on the West Coast, like from LA up here to Vancouver Island, than there might be between the West Coast and East Coast culturally. You know, I think we're probably more similar to California than New York is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you want to comment at all about the medical systems in the two countries, or do you want to just stay away from...
Well, I will comment that America's situation sucks. It's absolutely corporate robbery, in my opinion. I think it's bullying. And it's grossly unfair.
Do you see a big difference in Canada, actually?
Obviously.
Yeah?
Yes. And the doctors here are far more personable than they are down there.
Oh, okay.
Down there, you're just like another thing.
It's interesting because as a person who's lived in Canada all my life, I see our system heading very quickly towards the American system.
That's disturbing.
And it never.
That's very disturbing.
It's interesting to hear you say that because I think most Canadians my age would say that that you're starting to be treated like a thing here. You know.
Yeah. Well, we already are and have been for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you might want to take warning from. You don't want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're held in huge respect throughout the world. For that, and your humanitarian outlook on all other levels too. It's like, if you start messing with that, I think you're messing with the heart of the country.
Do you plan on staying in Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I'm married a lovely Canadian lady, and we're situated here in Courtney, and it's good for everyone right now.
Well, that's good.
You know, if we want to go somewhere else, we might someday. We talk about it. We don't know where we'd end up. It's pretty hard to beat BC for a beautiful place.
Yeah. Just to ask you about a couple more of the people that you've worked with, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Doobie Brothers.
I don't know,
did you tour with them? Or?
That's separate bands.
Oh, okay.
But we were signed with Warner Brothers right around the same time, back in 69, 70. And we were kind of like brother bands under the label, you know. And you know, we passed around producers, staff, and you know, and Billy played on other records, and we were friends.
Oh, okay.
We still are.
And perhaps two of the original jam bands, maybe? Is it fair to say that about Little Feat and the Doobie Brothers?
I think that we definitely were jam bands, as much as anyone else at that time.
Yeah. And then Bob Dylan, you toured with him?
Yes.
Did you record with him as well?
No, I didn't.
No,
I didn't have that good fortune.
So which tour did you?
It was 84, and it was 4 months or something like that. And it was the East Coast. Played Toronto. We played like 5 different places in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Club and a hockey rink and a theater and a couple other places.
When I was talking to you earlier, you mentioned the Buddy Guy records as being one of the highlights of the stuff you've done.
I've done 4 of them, and the highlight was the first one. It was the Damn Right I Got the Blues record.
Yeah, that was a great album.
That really was fun to do.
And was that a situation where you had all kinds of freedom as a player? Did he just come in and...
Well, it's blues. It's not a lot of freedom.
Yeah, okay.
But nobody told me what to play.
1, 2, 3, I got it. Just want to use the phone. got the blues. You damn right, I got the blues. You damn right, I got the blues. You damn right, I got the blues. Yeah.
You toured with him, or
I recorded with him.
Which albums did you?
What's the name of it? It's one of his live albums that he wanted two songs to record to fill it in.
Oh, okay.
To make it, and so that Larry Taylor from Canned Heat and me and Tom playing a little pump organ that was like for a kid. He was sitting on a folding chair, and it was like right on his knees, and like a little tiny thing. It was really funny, and his big voice coming out of his head. It was quite a great experience.
And you've probably known him from the scene in California for
a little bit, yeah.
A long time, huh?
A little bit.
All the roses don't come around on Sunday.
What about blues drummers? Are there particular songs or that you would sort of cite as being the ones that really knocked you out in terms of shuffle players or that kind of thing?
Shuffle players. One of the best contemporary shuffle players is Chris Layton. The stuff he did with Stevie Ray was really good. And who else? A guy named Kenneth Blevins plays a really good shuffle. He's a Memphis guy, I think. He's been moving around. He played with Tiny Town for a while, and then he plays with John Hiatt. And another great album is Little Village.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the baddest grooves I ever heard is Inside Job, when the rhythm section gets going after like the third verse.
You took it to heart. That is my love. I thank heaven that I found you. I thank my stars above. The way that it happened, well, it might seem strange, but after the hurting is all done, there comes a change. So I went down into myself, where any fool could see all the love that I had to give you. Getting out of me. It was an inside job, but baby, we worked it out. It was an inside job, but baby, we worked it out. Well, I didn't know just what was wrong, but all of my lights went out. Inside job, baby, we worked it out.
you ever had the chance to work with Keltner at all?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, on a on an album that was a tribute to Jeff Porcaro, we did double drums on a Dylan song that Bob Skaggs was singing. But I've known him for 40 years.
I guess it's one of those things.
He's a great guy.
Drummers don't normally get to work together,
no,
do they?
No.
Drinking.
Marlene's drumming? Is there somebody
Wild Magnolias and the Wild Chapatulas and the Neville Brothers and Dr. John and the Meters.
The Meters, yeah.
There's so many. Anders Osborne, Papa John Gross, Papa Gross Funk. That's really, really a great band. Ivan Neville, it's really good. It's, New Orleans is so rich with musicians. It's, I mean, they've got more great drummers than the whole rest of the country.
Pretty wild, yabba dooby wild. We up, down, ruby wild. We wild, yabba dooby wild.
What about Terry Bozzio? Have you worked with him at all?
I've never worked with him, but he's a great player. Really, a really great player. And a very funny guy.
And Levon Helm, have you ever get a chance to do double drumming with
Yes.
him? Yeah?
Yes. That was a real privilege.
When was that?
That was 2002, I think. It was a benefit for my son, who'd had a car crash and was in a coma for a long time. And Levon took part in this benefit we did at Lisner Auditorium in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
And we played half the set, half the show with double drums, with, you know, all very young people in front. We didn't care. We just kind of stared at each other and giggled through the whole thing. It was really funny.
So is there anyone that you would work with right now if you... you could pull some names out of people that you haven't had the chance to work with? That
I'd love to work with Jeff Beck. That would be good. Pretty awesome. Lots of people. Give me a call, I'll see if I can do it.
Uh-huh. Have you ever had the urge to do your own, completely your own band? You're more of a groove guy than anything.
Yeah, right? I'm not really officer material.
Yeah. So you feel like you've gotten been able to be as creative as you want to be?
I think I'm fortunate that I got to be in the band I got to be in, because it allowed me to develop in any direction I wanted. I mean, they controlled it to some degree. It was definitely needed it, especially at first. It was just more energy than brains back then. It's been a great ride with them, and I'm looking forward to getting back to it.
Well, thank you, Richie. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
And I know everybody that I wrote to said that they want to wish you to see you get strong real fast and get back out there playing again. So
tell them thank you very much. I intend to make good on that.
Willing. And I was out on the road late at night. I seen my pretty Alice in every headlight. Alice, Dallas Alice. And I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari, to Hatchapi to Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made. Driven the back road so I wouldn't get way. You give me weed, white sand, wine.
Well, that's about it for the show with Richie Hayward. I especially want to thank Richie for taking the time to talk to me, and also thank him again for his patience with my technical abilities. Still pretty new at this podcast stuff, but I'm getting better at it every day. I sent out a bunch of questions to my friends who are drummers and asked them, what would you ask Richie if you had the chance? And got some response from some of them and from some of the folks on the Little Feet mailing list, and my good buddy Peter North as well, who's a music programmer for CKU Radio in Alberta, a wonderful radio station. So special thank yous go out to Phil Whipper, Pat Stewart, Michelle Joseph, Mike Fournier, Peter North, Tanya Henye, and Morley Stock. Thanks, guys, for chipping in. I'm Doug Cox, and you're listening to Roots Review. I'll be back real soon with another show and more interviews as well. And you can check me out at dougcox.org. I have lots of music there, too. You can also check out our festival at islandmusicfest.com. And, of course, the instructional DVDs
at learnrootsmusic.com as well. That's about it for this time. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you down the road.
Driven the back road so I wouldn't get way. And if you give me wheat, white sand, wine, and you show me a